Rave Radio. Gary K's Almost Daily Rants and Raves.
The Week.
The Women in AV Wavecast.
Green AV.
You're listening to Women in AV Wavecast, episode number 5, our AV Gents, recorded on Wednesday, August 1st, 2012. Welcome, everybody. You're here listening to the Women in AV Wavecast. We're so excited that you can join us. And we have a very special set of panelists for you today. We're really excited because today we're talking to the men in AV. As many of us know and have experienced, we have a lot of men in our industry who are incredibly supportive of the women that come before us and those of us who are here today and will come after us. So men have played an incredibly important role for the women in our industry in our career advancement, mentoring, and just all around being very supportive. So we're really excited to bring to you today the men in our industry. Let's go around and say hello to everybody. With us, we have Tim Albright. Tim, hi, how are you? Can you tell us who you are and what you do?
My name is Tim Albright. How are you? My main job is I'm an AV professional for a local community college outside of St. Louis, but I'm also one of the guys that started the AV Nation podcast with AV Week and all the others, including the Waves. So that's me.
Welcome. Thank you. And we have with us Chuck Wilson of NSCA. Good morning, Chuck. How are you?
I'm great, Jennifer, and thank you for having me today. Let me give a brief rundown on myself. I spent about 20-plus years as a system integrator in the Upper Midwest doing a variety of AV systems and a lot of things with networking and wireless technologies and life safety security things. And then the last 15 years, I've had the privilege of being the executive director here at NSCA. So I'm happy to be here today.
Thanks for joining us. We have with us John Green with Advanced AV. John, how are you this morning?
Wonderful, Jennifer. Really wonderful. I'd like to pass along as my thoughts as well to be it's an honor to be a part of this discussion. To give you a little bit of a background of my position, I'm the Vice President of Sales and Marketing at Advanced AV. I've been with the organization for the past 5 years. My history of being in the AV industry starts back in 1979, and I've got quite a mix of experiences all the way from broadcast to dealer sales to manufacturer sales. So it's been a long and actually a wonderful ride. So, again, thanks for being on the phone call.
And we have George Tucker with us with World Stage. George, how are you today?
I'm doing just great. Good to be on the show. I guess a little bit about me. Yes, I am with World Stage. I've done, 20-something years of doing residential and commercial installations and automation to live events and Broadway and a little bit of blogging and most proudly a producer here at AV Nation.
Great. Well, thank you, gentlemen. Thank you so much for joining us. And so one of the things that we do for all of our guests is we try to send each of them a gift. And it's our way of saying thank you. Thank you for all that you do. And thank you for being on the podcast. So now's the time when we open them up and see what they are. So go ahead.
That came off easy. Oh, that's very cute. It's a robot.
It's a wind-up man.
It's a wind-up robot.
Oh, that'll have a place on my desk.
There you go.
This will drive my cat crazy.
Clever.
Or my 5-year-old. Either one.
it'll drive my 4-year-old crazy.
That's wonderful. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. We thought it would drive you crazy. What for our listeners out there, what we have for the gentleman today is, as they said, it's a wind-up robot. And so the reason that we thought of you for that was because you're so technical, because you guys love machines, and it is also a special one because you have to really sort of – I was playing with this one in the store. And so if you really crank it a lot of times, you'll see that he runs fast, he climbs mountains, and he keeps on going. So that was certainly something where we thought that you guys would enjoy that. So thank you again for being here.
Thank you very
much.
Great
selection. Thank you.
Thanks.
Mine's going mad.
Just like you.
Great. So let's get started then. you know, one of the reasons that we invited you all and asked you all to be here is because you are such strong supporters of women in our industry. And, you know, for that, we're incredibly grateful. But we'd really like to understand from your perspective, you know, having the experience that you do in the industry, what are some of the challenges that you see for women? And mentioning that you've had such a long career, what is some of the progress that you've also seen versus, you know, long ago where, you know, women like Jan Sandry has come on before and talked about how she was one of three women in an entire trade show versus, you know, some of the success that we saw this past Infocom, and especially Chuck with NSCA and the hosting the Women in AV reception as you did and things like that. So why don't you go ahead and start off for us, Chuck?
Okay. You know, I got my start in the business, as well in the late 70s, I guess. And, you know, things have changed for the better and very dramatically. And what I see is that, and I keep going back to the word credibility, is that the women that I know, the women in our industry, the business owners, the managers, the people who have, you know, done what it took to train themselves and done what it took to become successful, is they've done a great job establishing credibility. And I think where that comes into play is it's been really tough over the years for a male-dominated, technology-based organization to find a place for women beyond, you know, just the clerical kinds of things and stuff like that. So I think as an industry, we've helped a little bit, or I feel like we've contributed to doing more with career paths and being more systematic and mindful about, you know, how you can start in the industry and how you can advance up through it. So that credibility and the confidence that these women, you mentioned Jan Sandry, and what a role model for others, because she carries herself with the pride and confidence, you know, that it takes to be successful, regardless of gender. And then she also does a fabulous job of blending an element of humility in with that. And I think that's really the key. It's so important to have that fine balance of confidence and humility at the same time, which makes you, you know, an awesome person like she is and many others. So that's what I've seen, is that it's just gotten so much better.
Great. Well, thanks. And how about you, George?
When I started, it was really, and staging especially, I started in the event live staging world, and there were very, very few women. If you saw them at all, it was in theater, and most of those people were lighting designers, but they were there. The long and slow path that I've seen are mostly people who started in at some level of being an intern because they went to trade school and said, I'm really going to do this, and even if they were the only woman there, they really did try to persevere. And they were usually the interns that we found stayed longest, worked hardest, and really wanted to prove themselves. You know, that was true for some of the male students as well. But it really comes down to watching and I think you said it before, the confidence and the pride. That really becomes something, I think, when we were watching more and more women enter this industry, especially in the live event side. Their confidence of knowledge and their pride in being able to do something like this and not have to say, oh, it's the girl. It was just another person on the staff, and that's what they strove for. Really has, that's the change I've seen over the last at least 20 years. It went from someone who was sort of, oh, wow, look, there's a girl over there, to no one cares. That's Kelly, or that's whoever. She's doing the lighting, and when you need her, you go over there. Right. And so for my generation, really, it's been almost a non-issue. I mean, you kind of noticed it in the beginning, but in the live world, it's not really an issue so much because, you know, we're all working 36 hours straight sometimes. So if you get the work done, you get the work done. That's all that matters.
Great. Thanks. How about you, John?
Well, I guess I'm going to have to give the history lesson on this one. And going back as far as I go, I think that I started out in the broadcast marketplace. Actually, prior to that, I had a lot of other experiences. But, you know, I came out of high school, and at the time, you had the ability to go from a high school education up to, you know, king of the world if you wanted to. And there wasn't a high demand on training and college education. It was something that was available, but it wasn't pushed. And when I started in the industry, the women in the industry were strictly limited to secretarial and administrative support. I mean, actually using the term secretary today kind of is a funny term. It's not utilized at all. I don't think that there was any drive to support women in the industry in the broadcast marketplace. And I guess my only insight into that is based upon, I think that it was a technical area. Everything that revolved around technology also had a tendency to break. So if there wasn't training in that area, if there wasn't tech school training, and or I'm going to go back as far as, you know, being a soldier in the war, coming out and going to tech school and understanding, you know, what gamma was to a color camera and things of that nature, it just wasn't available and it wasn't needed. I mean, they were pushing women to a large degree into secretarial, hairdressing, and things of that nature. I didn't see until later on, and this is kind of moving it up the calendar, but, you know, Y2K. It's, you know, it's a term that's not used an awful lot anymore, but it opened up, you know, the need for any population to be involved in technology. I think that was, oddly enough, one of the, you know, parts in the timeline here that caused change to occur. Even in the broadcast industry that I was in there for 10 years, I could comfortably say that I didn't see a woman on the technical side. I was dealing with, you know, broadcast engineers and camera people. And again, those positions were secretarial and or on-air, you know, they were on-air talents. That was basically the only place that was open. So it's been a dramatic change. I mean, it's truly just the population of women and the presence of women in the industry. It's rather refreshing. You know, so that's what I've seen.
Wonderful. How about you, Tim?
I feel like the least qualified guy here because you've got Chuck and John and George, and then there's, you know, me. So it's like, all right, you know, I'm just going to sit here and listen to you guys. My thing is, I came in the, like George, I'm about, you know, 20 years out on this business, and I came in also in the broadcasting. And so a lot of my experiences are the same as John's is towards the middle to late 90s.
Yes.
You know, the women got, you know, into it. And I grew up in a very, I'm not quite sure how to put this, but I guess the best way to put it is a liberal home. And, you know, I was raised where, you know what, my mom instilled in both me and my sister, you can do anything you want to do. You can be anything you want to be, regardless of your race, your color, your creed, your gender. You can be what you want to be. And so I had that mentality growing up is, you know what, Jennifer could be, my sister was named Jennifer. She could be president just as easily as I could. And so I kind of entered the workforce with that attitude. And as I developed in the AV industry and saw that the disparity between men and women, just not necessarily, you know, in jobs or pay, just the fact that there weren't a lot of women, I noticed obviously that there weren't. And as I grew older and a family developed, and my first child is a little girl, she's 6 years old. This is all of my whole support of this. Is kind of to further my mom and my sister's legacy of you can do what you want to do, to instill in my daughter she can be what she wants to be, and if I can do anything to help, you know, make that easier for her in an industry that I love, which is AV, that's why I do it. It's not, you know, because I have some, you know, ulterior motives. It's the fact that I honestly believe that she can do what she wants to do, and so if I can help in that in any way, that's why, you know, I like doing stuff like this.
I couldn't agree with you more, Tim. My position is, I've been, again, in a liberal household, but I think that it's just, we've all been given the opportunity in the AV industry to be able to become whatever we need to become. You know, again, I don't think that there's an industry today that if you would enter into with a high school education that you could put, you know, find myself in a position like this.
Yeah.
I think there's an awful lot of encouragement in this industry. And I sit back many times, and that's, you know, when you ask why I'm involved in women in AV, I feel exactly the same way. This has been a very kind industry to me. You know, I've been able to maintain employment for 30 plus years, and it's been, and I'm excited, and I look around and say, why aren't there more women involved? And again, I just think that I don't think there's been enough encouragement. I don't think that there's been enough education. You know, in your timeline that you mentioned was a good one. I think that, you know, the later 80s and early 90s, You know, when that broadcast technology or the technology that we're utilizing on a daily basis back then became more consumer-like, it became available to everybody. Everybody was touching the technology. It didn't have to be that old white guy that had a screwdriver to figure out exactly what was broken or what switch to throw. I mean, everybody was using it. And again, I saw an increase in all of effect of that. The sales of the product, and that's basically where I come from. I mean, my viewpoint is always going to be more so from a sales point.
Wonderful. Great. Well, Tim, one of the things that, I'd like to start off our next question with is with you. And so a lot of people don't know that when we do our recordings here, I don't know if I'm giving away any secrets.
Oh, give them away. Maybe some, yeah, give them away.
Great. Well, when we do our recordings, Tim is actually sort of the man behind the curtain. And so for all of our Wavecast recordings, Tim is online with all of us. And it's such a wonderful time. And he sits and he actually listens to all of the recordings. So he actually has the inside scoop on everything that's going on. So, Tim, I'd just like to hear your sort of thoughts, knowing that we have had a couple of episodes now with very different women, different. We've just recently put forward our young women in AV. We had the board of directors as our inaugural one. We've done designers. What are your experiences and sort of tell us what you've heard as you've sat and listened or what your thoughts are?
First of all, I thought the inaugural one was the one I think that blew me away the most. And you had Joanne. I'm going to get her name wrong, but I think it's Bellinger.
Belange.
And Corey Schaefer and Jan Sandry. You had those three women on. And here's what they gave me, at least as a man in the AV industry, is the idea of this is as much about relationships as it is about understanding Ohm's Law. And that was a really cool insight. Ohm, yeah. But
yes.
It was because, guys are, nothing, this is not a sexist statement, men and women are just kind of wired differently. And a lot of times, us guys, we worry more about, the Gazinta into the Gazauta instead of I stole that from a buddy of mine, Rich Fregosa.
Right.
We worry more about the connectedness instead of the connectedness between each other. And I think that was the really cool insight. The young women in AV just made me feel old. you've got women here who are up and coming in their 20s, and I wish that I had the foresight to be in this industry at that age because that would have been really cool.
I back you a lot of your thought process on this. I think that at least on the sales side of things, when I'm involved with account managers that are women, they come at it from a collaborative approach. They truly do.
Yes.
I think that even working amongst the crew here to get a problem solved, they do it from a collaborative tactic. And that's probably the most successful sales approach that I've ever seen. Sitting down with a client and understanding a problem and talking about it. And I think that men take a more direct approach. I hear what you have a problem with. This is what you need to do.
Yes.
I think that when women take that challenge and they take the skill set that they already possess and it's ingrained, I think that there's great success.
What about you, Chuck?
Well, again, I agree with what the gentlemen have mentioned as well. What I see is that, the women have a lot of strengths that and like we say, we're different. But in my mind, the professional women that I've had the pleasure of dealing with, they seem to be better organized, just overall. They seem to have clearer ways of organizing their thoughts. And what that translates into, I've seen a lot of them in action with conducting sales meetings and stuff, and they tend to ask better questions than some of us guys that are so wrapped up into the technology, and they don't have that male ego that drives this instinct we have to spew out all of our knowledge and wisdom and somehow use that as a sales technique when the people at the other end are sitting there wondering, you know, really what in the hell are we talking about and why is that important, you know, is they're sitting there trying to get the reaction and getting that, you know, that inner, using their interpersonal skills to get the reaction from the client to find out what they really want in the first place. So I see that as a definite strength and something that we can build upon here.
I call it, you know, and with our account managers, I have a couple of women in positions of business development, and the other thing is they're fearless to hold a conversation.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that there's an awful lot of men that if they're invited into a conversation will certainly walk over in a cocktail party and start it. But I think that there's an awful, you know, women have no fear of starting a conversation, and it takes, and that's another success for sales.
Yeah.
It's funny. It's the difference between the I am the alpha dog, listen to me, dang it.
Yes.
And the,
yes.
Hey, what are you and who are you? I got to say, one of the most important lessons I learned was from a tech teacher I had in one of the – I went to a trade school who basically taught me at a mixer for me trying to get a job as an internship saying, ask them about themselves.
Sure.
And I learned how to be a good listener. And I know this goes into this Men Are From Venus or Mars and whatever the book is. But it was a valuable lesson that – someone taught me who happened to be technical and female, but it's the most important trick. But here's my question. We're talking about all this, but why do we think we say we're an open business and in the AV industry is where anyone can do anything, the high school diploma or the college degree. And yet it's still a field that is lacking in both youth and women. And I'm going to jump the gun here and ask why, because I think I have some personal experience with this, but I want to ask why.
Well, I can.
Go ahead,
this
Chuck.
Can I start on that? Is I think science and math haven't been as cool up until now. You know, until we got to this century. I mean, it was gender specific, basically, with a college bound professional, you know, bright, talented young woman. Is that the science and math engineering type programs and stuff, they just weren't, they either the student wasn't directed that way or they didn't seem appealing that way. And I think we've blown the doors off that. I think that is no longer an issue. And I think that that's going to be one of the reasons why, you know, women will have such an important role in our industry moving forward.
Yeah, I'd like to jump in as well. I guess the, when I spoke to it, you know, it's funny. I spoke to a couple of women that I know that are in the industry in positions at colleges and universities, and I asked the same question. And colleges have two things. Their job is to educate, but their job is also to make sure that their graduates have a job. And I think that at any given point, they probably sit down in a generational period and say, well, Kennedy wants us to go to the moon. We need some rocket scientists. And I think that to a large degree, they were past built by the educational institutions as to where they fit. And I think it's a generational thing. I think that it's gone. I agree with you, Chuck. I think that there's with the technology and how everybody's touching it now and involved with it, I think that it's opening up to the possibility in women's, you know, roadmap. I think they get excited by it. They use it. You know, they see the effect of it. So I think that it's still in the college's hands, though. I think that there's still a burden to make sure that those conversations are being offered and pushed.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Tim?
Well, some of it is I honestly see some of it as a catch-22. You guys are right. In our industry, you can go from a high school education to as far as you want to go. But the catch-22 of that is getting in and getting the experience. You can either have, you know, a double E, or you can have, you know, Crestron certified, you know, programmer, one of the two, or you can have both. But some of it also is getting in the door and getting that experience. And I'm a big proponent of, you know, getting working with Infocom and working with organizations like an SCA and developing curriculum inside established institutions where you can spend 2 years or you can spend 4 years. Or you can come out with an associate's of AV technology. You can come out with a bachelor's. And go to, you know, a place here in St. Louis, a integrator, and say, look, I have, you know, this much experience, you know, because I've gone through the classes. And you guys are right. We as a society, we need to bump up and increase our science and technology and our math and science and technology stuff we do inside the 12 years that we have the kids. And then it kind of primes them for getting out and getting into, you know, a four-year education. And making it cool and making it, you know, known, this is what you can do.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's great. And, you know, I know that from myself personally, I have been in the broadcast, my high school. I always, this is one that's really, really close to my heart, is that I actually had a broadcast studio available to me when I was in high school. And then I went to the University of Massachusetts, which had a full functioning television station. But I know that that is a unique experience. And it was something where at the time, I would have never thought that it would have gotten me to where I am right now with my career. It was just something that I enjoyed doing. So I think as an industry, we have come a long way that it's no longer that we sell boxes or we sell switches. And the more that we can sell the idea of saving people's lives with telemedicine, that's always my big thing. That's what women are really going to, you know, find intriguing. And those are the types of things that, you know, we've just all sort of talked about how collaborative women are and things like that. The more that we demonstrate that part of our industry to women, and also, George, you mentioned youth, just in general, I think that we're going to be better off in terms of getting the young folks as well as women excited about wanting to take part in it.
You're listening to the Women in AV Wavecast, brought to you by Rave Radio and sponsored by Mitsubishi Electric. To listen to this and all the other AV industry's leading podcasts, visit www.ravepubsradio.com.
So let me ask you this, is what I'm hearing is that it's an application thing, maybe for a metaphor, it's sort of like not understanding what algebra is until finally you get into the tech world and someone finally says, here's how you apply finding X.
Well, hang on though, but I spent 2 years, 3 years in algebra and trig going, I'll never use this, George.
Right.
Seriously.
Right, but then you go into a practical application. Or you go into some... You go into tech school, some training program, and finally someone says, here's an logarithmic function, and you need sort of an algebraic background to go, oh, now I understand why I need to know this kind of stuff. So that's what I'm going to ask even to Jennifer, turn the tables on you here. But is it really about finding an application that is significant to draw someone in, or is it more than that? Because here's why I ask. I have a sister who is crafty as can be, but non-technical. We grew up together in the same house. We got the same Atari computer back in those days in the 80s. And she just is not interested. Added to that, I have a live-in caretaker for my children. I have an au pair. And she is, in the last couple of days talking to her, she's really interested and wants to know how to do more programming, like HTML or like Java, mm-hmm. because she has a blog. And she's really interested in TVs and computers. And I said, well, why don't you do it? One was, I don't know where to go. I mean, that's a fair question. The second was, you know what? I never had the opportunity, she said. And I said, well, what about in school? And her answer was, well, the guys, every time there's a problem, the boys always rushed up and they always elbowed you out. Wow. You know, so I'm wondering, are we still dealing with that? Is it the alpha male, as we brought up earlier? You know,
I'm going to jump on that. I think that there's that's an underlying issue. However, I mean, one of the other reasons, I have three daughters. Myself that have been involved, and I think that one of the changes, this is going to be a very strange line, but they were involved in sports, and I think that it taught them a competitive edge, and I thought it actually taught them competition, period, amen. And you know, I always joke about the last pork chop on the table, the three ladies will always poke the brothers with a fork and make sure that they get their piece. So I think that, you know, and you mentioned Atari, you know, even the gaming today is the same situation. I think that it's, the software is geared towards males. even the early Atari days, you had to kill or destroy something. And I don't think that falls in the wheelhouse of women, you know. And I also need to go back to the comment that you made, Jennifer. I think that it's really important that you brought out the conversation of, you know, being exposed to technology. I think that's what the major difference is going to be going forward. Women were blocked out of opportunities. They were not made aware. They were geared in different directions. I think that every single day that my daughter touches her text and touches and grabs my iPod the minute I walk through the door, exposes her to technology and exposes her to a possibility of a career. And it could be something as simple as, you know, graphic design, sure, but it could also be, hey, how does this thing work?
But John, don't you think some of that is also how, you know, like Jennifer was exposed to to a TV studio. I mean,
absolutely.
When I was going to school, we were made to I took home ec when I was in middle school because right. you know exactly, both yeah. sides, you know, and I made a a darn good apron. Thank you very much.
Right. Yeah. I didn't take any of those courses, but I'm a pretty good cook. But I wish I was exposed to that, because there's some things that I do wrong. So,
Jennifer, how tough was it in high school for you though when you were doing this?
Well, I think one of the things is also it is about the individual personality. I was also doing sports. You know, I mean, I was captain of my soccer team. I was captain of cheerleader. Okay. So, it was my individual personality. I think that I personally never felt that there was anything that could hold me back. My grandfather raised me always to believe that I can do anything that I want to do. And I took him very seriously, because if he said that I could do it, then I might as well. So I think that it's a lot about the role models and the personality that I just enjoyed doing it. That was something that I found. I wanted to do a news show. I wanted to be a producer of the news show. I didn't necessarily, and then I enjoyed the engineering side of it. So I didn't necessarily go into it in terms of I want to learn technology. That was not what it was that drew me. I wanted to, you know, make news and do that kind of stuff. So that's where I feel like as an industry, and not just the AV industry, just STEM in general, we really need to sort of change how we're selling our message of what makes it cool to.
I agree. I think exposure is really the key portion of it, because even at any level, I mean, when I started my career, again, I started out as a truck driver picking up parts, and went from picking up parts to selling parts to understanding parts. But as everybody knows in my household, I can't put a hammer in my hand without smashing my other hand. So I have no talents or abilities, but my wife does. I mean, she can fix plumbing and she can make electric sockets work and all kinds of fun things, you know, but she was exposed to it. I think that she touched it. And again, it's not, you don't pick up an iPad with the intent of getting a career. You just start to see what the potential is and what you're like, as you had mentioned, which is a very good story, because if you were in a broadcast studio early on, your natural path would have been, I'm going to be an anchor, or I'm going to be somebody of talent. And you took it the exact, you were behind the technology. So it's being exposed to it, touching it, having it available to you, and being encouraged. I think it's an understatement I don't think that we're hitting. There's not enough encouragement for women to go and pursue this. I mean, it has to happen at every level, not just from a parent standpoint or a grandparent standpoint, but from coworkers too. I think it's important that we do that.
Well, and, you know, congratulations, George, because I think that it's really, you know, that is, you're changing your the path for your au pair in terms of helping her to understand that and to move forward. And I think that, you know, what you said was really kind of poignant in terms of exactly what my path was, but differently. She has a blog and she wants to learn how to do it better. So she has something else that's sort of interesting her and that she enjoys doing. And then she wants to know how to do it better. And sort of that to me is what kind of resonates the message of what you shared.
Yeah, I ask these questions because I have two sons, but growing up through this and going to a trade school, I saw, you know, how the genders were starting to become, you know, heavily slated more towards female than male, and you know, became like less than 50 than if you read the reports now, a lot of the degrees and the technical people are women coming into the industry, yet we still don't see them here. I know when we do internships here, it's mostly guys. And the few women don't seem to apply. Now, there's a few, again, who are, again, in lighting, where I guess that aggressiveness that we're expecting is accepted from them. But my bigger question comes down to not just that, and I'm sort of mixing it in my head. What I see as the tools for, say, kids to learn, there's always a man and a male and a female version, which I never understand. It's the pink-handled tools. It's the... Mm-hmm. pink and green fluorescent colored Legos, which a lot of people say are successful, and who cares, they're Legos, right? But it's sort of one of those things that I don't really understand. It's like, why does there have to be a difference in that besides saying it's cool or besides saying there's a solution here? And I think we're still approaching it in many ways as a culture, at least U.S. culture, in a very gender, let's keep the roles, let's empower you, but keep our roles going kind of way. And it still confuses me to this day. Because like you guys said, I was taught that mom can do anything. My mom could build a frame a wall and could wallpaper and paint and fly a hammer as well as be mom, you know?
Which I think some of that is people's need to categorize things. I really do. I mean, I think that the pink and green Legos are silly. As my children grow up, I expose them to the things that I'm interested in just because I'm a geek and that's what I do. And here recently, I started my kids down the path of Star Wars. And I didn't sit down and say, okay, Sophie, which is my daughter, my six-year-old's name, you know, you can only be Princess Leia, or you can't watch this with Daddy because this is a geek movie and your brother can. I exposed both of them, much to the chagrin of my wife, who my children, both of them, my daughter especially, will ask to watch Doctor Who or will ask to watch Star Wars when it comes time for them to choose and to be able to pick what they watch. And I think it is the equal exposure or the equal access to technology, to science, to math, that will help, maybe not, you know, the current situation where we're in, but will help the generations and the people coming up after us, is you start ingraining in people now equal access. I mean, I couldn't care less if a hammer was pink or brown. I'm going to use it because it's a good hammer. Mm-hmm. But there are people in our society who do need the ability to categorize things, and I think as we guys like us and women like Jennifer here, who are able to tear down some of those walls and tear down some of those categories, I think will help the people who are coming up after us to, you know what, you know, in 10 or 20 years they may not be pink and green, you know, Legos.
Unless they're needed for something. I mean,
thank you, George.
Again, I'm sorry to jump in. I just didn't want to say, you know, it's not bad, but when we're focusing,
they're ugly. I mean.
Well, but when the focus is, oh, you'll like this and it'll get you into tech because it's pink.
Yes.
That's not the message.
No.
You know?
It's not more functional or less functional because it's pink.
True. But I want to ask Chuck. Chuck, you have a really strong background in education. And so, you know, I kind of like my pink. I like all colors, but I certainly like my pink. And so, Chuck, from your perspective in terms of education, as I'm sitting here, you know, hearing what you guys are saying, do you think that there may be a difference in terms of not how we educate, the underlying message of what we're delivering in education, but do you see a difference in maybe how we could sort of gear our education slightly different so that it's more interesting to a woman versus a man? Or do you find that men and women all sort of learn equally?
Oh, I think that too has changed dramatically, but I see more of a pattern where it's far more equal in many senses. Now, you could argue, you know, some people have different learning styles, tactical, sensory, you know, things of that nature. But I think for the most part, what I see is that there are some very, creative type technologies in our industry. Let's use digital signage for an example. That is very appealing to someone who wants to learn something that's very visual, like lighting would be. It's very visual. It's very stylish. You can be creative there. And then on the flip side of that, where, you know, it's primarily a male interesting type of occupation, if you will, is what we deal with a lot, and that is the construction and engineering side of the business, where, you know, you go to a job site and you're looking at, you know, a building that isn't yet built, trying to envision what type of systems and technologies will be implemented throughout that building. And then knowing that you've got to go to project meetings and, you know, your career path might be one of a project manager or something, that has a very different, maybe it's a left brain, right brain thing, but it has a very different audience that finds that appealing. And so that's what I see, is that, you know, people certainly learn differently and want to learn differently. Some people like live interaction versus, you know, webinars, let's say. But I think for the most part, it's the appeal of the end result that you're looking at. Like, you want to be a project manager versus you want to be a lighting designer. That takes people on completely different career paths, I think.
You're listening to the Women in AV Wavecast, brought to you by Rave Radio and sponsored by Mitsubishi Electric. To listen to this and all the other AV industry's leading podcasts, visit www.ravepubsradio.com.
Okay, so our next question that we'd like to hear your perspective on is, what are some of the women standouts that you know in our industry that have inspired you and are really phenomenal role models for young women and just any woman in our industry who would look to in terms of how to be successful? And if you could tell us, you know, one or two ladies, and also really more importantly, you know, why are they an inspiration to you, and what is it about them, the qualities that they have? So, Tim, let's start with you.
All right. Well, my two actually come from your first show, which the one is Joanne, and Joanne runs an integration company in Toronto, I think, somewhere in Canada. And I don't know. There's something about her, because she is, first of all, the head of an integration company. So let's start with that. That's not a typical position for a lot of women in our industry. And she is just, first of all, really smart with the way she does it, and very gracious. She is more than willing to talk to anybody, regardless of male or female, and help them out with any kind of issues. And the second one is Corey Schaefer from Listen. And that's because she is... runs a company and has helped develop this technology that is, you know, ubiquitous when it comes to house of worship, and also in my area, education, where she's taken an idea and developed it. And here's this great little product that she came up with, and now she's helping, you know, sell it. So that's mine.
Great.
Well, if he takes away one of mine, does that mean I only have one left?
Yes.
Corey is, from my perspective, Corey Schaefer is a dynamic leader in this industry. I think that it's just remarkable. And I think that the couple things that even Chuck said earlier on, I think that she presents a very streamlined approach towards it. And there's an energy that seems to be unstoppable. I'll sit here at the end of my day and try to catch up to her on social media and know that I've got to go back tomorrow and be at least a day behind. That's one of the, you know, she's remarkable, and she just provides a real energy to me to just to try to keep up. In all the times that I've sold products, again, in situations as a systems integration company and as a manufacturer. I guess if I'm going to go back, and maybe she'll catch this, but Jane Crittenden, who used to be an account manager down in Washington, D.C., another person that just was focused and driven and really took an interest in understanding the technology. She currently, I think, believes still working for Panasonic. But I've run into a remarkable crew of women that have always presented themselves as not being not just the top 5% of what company they work for, but in the top 1, 2, or 3 salespeople. When they've decided that they're going to do something, there's tough competition. I've lost a lot of business to Jane, and there's other women as well. And it's remarkable, because you sit there and she would, you know, recant some stories. You'd go over to, you'd be in your trade show booth, and I'd be working for a manufacturer with a competitive product on a camera, and I'd be having trouble. And she'd walk over and go, hey, Sally, why don't you do this, this, and this? And we'd fix the problem. I'd go, okay, get out of my booth now. So I have a lot of stories like that. And on top of that, would challenge the tech, you know, again, and to fold some things together we talked about earlier, you know, men would come over and go, well, you couldn't possibly know this, this, or this, and dress them down, man. Dress them down and gain respect because of that knowledge. So that's just a couple of people.
Wonderful. That's a great story. How about you, Chuck?
You know, the ladies that were mentioned, I know them well, and again, I concur, they are great role models. I want to talk about a lady you may not know as well, and that is Rose Shure from Shure Microphone Company, Shure Incorporated. I had the great pleasure of interviewing her about a year or two ago as she won our Lifetime Achievement Award, and what a remarkable story. In fact, the interview that I did with her, I can share with you. It's on our YouTube channel and stuff. But it was just remarkable to see what that woman did in terms of carrying on the culture of the organization. Her husband passed away, and Rose was left in charge of a huge company. And it's just phenomenal to see the vision, the culture, the core values that this woman had, and the way that she was a role model, not just to other women that work there, but every employee of that company has so much respect for her. And it just ties all the way through to the, you know, what you see that comes out in their products and everything. So she is definitely one of them. And then I've had the great fortune of having several very tough women, very strong, tough ladies on our NSCA board over the years. And these women, they went toe-to-toe with the guys that had the big egos and knew all about everything. And they just, I was so proud of them, because they would just not back down ever from things that they knew just as much about. So, you know, I'm surrounded with, you know, in my day job, I don't have any other guys in the office, really, other than Nick, that work here. So I'm surrounded with women every day. And just even the employees here at NSCA, they are very, very good at what they do, and they're very professional. So I'm just very blessed to have been surrounded by so many good women and such an inspirational group of people.
That's really wonderful. Well, you must have a lot of good treats and cookies and things in the office as well.
Well, they're very organized.
How about you, George?
I've got actually three, because two of them are personal business, and one of them sort of a semi-famous person who has taught me a lot about the drive in human beings, let alone women. There's Betsy Longendorfer, who is one of the chief engineering people at Crestron Electronics. She is someone who has, in the early days of that company, was really the person in charge, and is still a driving force behind a lot of the products that come out of that company. She's a really focused, tough-minded, but fair person who really knows how to manage people. And she basically is managing a lot of men. It's a very heavy engineering, and it's still in that sort of expected world of, you know, maybe 90-10%. It may have changed since I've been there, but she was a really good person. The other one's Sandy Benedetto. She was with Panasonic for a while. I believe she's with THX now. And she is someone who, you know, was able to take me aside and teach me things when I was a young kid in this business, thinking I knew everything or wanted to know everything yesterday, and was able to help pace my education by simply being there and answering the questions and directing me. And the third is a driving force that I think everybody should know and should probably follow, and that's one Cindy Gallup. I met Cindy as a support specialist for Crestron years ago and developed a friendship with her in many respects. And she runs a number of things, but she is a startup business herself, having left the world of marketing, and still is a expert at all that. But she drives now for women in coding and women in tech. She does If We Ran the World, a website about micro actions. She does a number of other things, all of that are really centered on equality and changing the playing field in a really great way. Gallup.com. She is a force to be reckoned with, and somebody whom I take a lot of inspiration from.
That's really great. One of the things that is a really unique thing that we're starting to sort of see in our industry, and I just wanted to get your perspective on this, is we have the recent announcement of Marissa Mayer being the new CEO for Yahoo. She was hailed. She was criticized. She also, on the same day that she announced that she was going to be a mom-to-be for the first time. It just created an entire sort of tizzy around everybody's opinions about whether or not that's a good thing, a bad thing. I recently wrote on Rave Pubs about a woman, Dr. Anne Marie Slaughter, who came out with an Atlantic article about why women can't have it all. And again, I was really kind of blown away, and a lot of it was from women. She chose to walk away from a high-paying, high-government job, the first director of international relations for Senator Clinton. Yeah. She chose to walk away from that and put her family as her priority. So one of the things that sort of has come up for us is whether or not there's different challenges for women who are at a certain level in their career in terms of being managers and supervisors, but not really necessarily getting to that executive director role, such as yourself, Chuck, you know, or, you know, the Jan Sandries and the Corey Schaefers, who, you know, really still sort of seem to be an elite group of women that a lot of women kind of max out at the manager supervisor level. So, you know, I just wanted to ask you all, you know, what is sort of your perspective in terms of, is there a different challenge for women as they get on in their career? And is there something special that we need to be focusing on to try to help them get to that next level? So Chuck, do you want to start out with that?
I'll try. One of the things that I have seen, and I've helped coach many women in the industry on, is that I think that as they, you know, look at what their career, you know, goals are and everything, I ask them to be honest with themselves and ask them to really step back and evaluate what it is that they want. Where do they see themselves going and stuff? And the message I have to them is that based on all of the pressures of this industry, their job, their family life and everything, that you can't be perfect at everything. There's no such thing as a perfect mom and a perfect employee, you know, a perfect business owner at the same time when there's only so many hours in the day. So what I encourage people to do is to step back and have great conversations with the owner of the company or the person that they're stepping into that CEO role. Talking to the person that was there before them. So just trying to be really, really honest, open, and have that communications, you know, that is transparent to what their life is like, you know, at home as well as at work and everything. So I feel that it's really important that as we mentor people moving up into that role, that we talk about that fully integrated lifestyle, the balance of work and home, and to really be honest about what makes you happy in addition to what makes you successful at work. So that's my perspective on that anyway.
Well, and I would say that if you look at, not to make this simplistic, but if you look at how many men make it into executive positions, I think that, I honestly don't think that it's that women have necessarily a harder time at it. It comes down to how you manage your life and what you want. You know, there are people who will probably never make it into a CEO position, and that's simply because either they don't have the drive or they don't have the desire. I think that, yes, you have women who, if you're trying to be a mother and a CEO, wow, that's, you know, hat my hat off to any woman who's trying to do that, because that is, you know, you are the CEO of the house when you're the mom, and so you're trying to do both. I think that takes a very special person. So, yes, I guess I should clarify. Yes, there are challenges, but I think it comes down to the type of person you are and what you really want out of life.
You know, it's interesting. My wife stayed home for the first 7 years of my oldest being alive, as it were, for lack of a better phrase. Sorry for that. But it was a conscious choice we made, and we sacrificed a lot of things. And I say that not only to say that parenthood in general is hard, no matter who it is. I mean, what, traditionally, we knew that daddy goes to work, mommy stays home, right? And we sort of follow that 50s, leave it to beaver, father knows best kind of model. And we still have that somewhere in the back of some of our brains because the culture is based upon that. There's marketing references everywhere to that that either make us happy or anger us, depending on how that marketing person is trying to make us feel in certain ways. But it really does come down to what the relationship between the parents is, who's willing or can do what they can to make the family life work. So the thing is that in my day, I know that if my wife, who stayed home for a really long time, was a very successful chef and is now working again very successfully as a project manager for a major corporation, if she had the opportunity to really, really grow that and it would make it affordable for me to stay home, I would do it in a heartbeat because I've had a lot of success. And not that I want to give that up, and if my employer's listening, no, I can't. But, you know, I would, because that's an opportunity and it really comes down to that relationship. You know, my wife got me into watching Mad Men. I'm notorious for not really liking TV, but she got me into watching Mad Men. And the thing that everybody talks about is, of course, we all cringe at some of the very 50s, 60s things they do, the way we treat each other, the smoking around babies. There was an episode where they all played in the plastic dry cleaning bags, right? And my thought always is, will they 20 years from now look back at us and cringe in the same way? We're saying we're all really good about this and we're trying to move forward, but there's so many things that we're inherently doing that we may not even realize unless we pause to think about it that could be cringeworthy in 20 years from now. And so that, you know, that combination, that question of this uproar between can mommy have it all? Well, none of us can have it all, really. Not unless we're billionaires, wealthy. And even then, it's probably not possible. So it really, I think, comes down to working together in whatever relationship you are and whatever partnership you are in a family.
Well, I'm going to jump in on this and probably be take a little bit, maybe a little bit of a different tact. I think that there's the conversation that we're having is trying to define the difference between a life goal and a career goal. And I think it's important that you separate those two. I think we're being too kind on ourselves, gentlemen, by saying that the burden of not just, you know, we cannot make babies. So that's, you know, that's an easy yes. thing for us to walk away from. Okay, that's yours. But I think that in the women that I've been exposed to over the years of my career, they're burdened with a lot of other tasks beyond that. I think it's not just raising children, but it's also taking care of the elder parents. It's taking care of an awful lot of things, and it is a life choice. In my particular story, my wife was a vice president of sales at a financial institution, and was very well off. And we sat down and decided that we were going to have children, and the burden of that was somebody needs to stay home, and she took on that burden as well. So I think that I don't want to go so far as to say, but I'm going to. It's disingenuous for us not to say that the burden of a lot of these choices fall on the women in the industry. But it is. It's a life choice. You know, because again, I think all of us, if given an opportunity, that you know, I don't want to start a career and then end up at a heart attack. That's not the goal. You know, so it's refreshing to see that there are women that are willing to make those decisions, those career choices, because they deserve that bite of the apple as well as we do.
That's really great. I think it is an interesting sort of, you know, conversation to have. But from my perspective, the thing that really touched on me for that whole conversation was just the term having it all. And if there was one thing that I really resonate with what George said in terms of, you know, my thing was, why can't we just get rid of that word? It's just, it's divisive. It creates a have and have not situation, whether you're a male or female. And for me, we're in this together. Just changing that context of that conversation and having that sort of conversation, whether it's with your business employer, whether it's with your partner at home, really just focusing on what the solution is and what's going to be the best for everybody, I think really kind of helps everybody to have a little bit of everything that they want.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to tie a little weave behind all of that. You know what? One of the wonderful things is technology is going to help. You know, the fact that teleconferencing and telecommuting and work could be anywhere. And we, everybody on this phone call probably has, you know, some kind of a mobile device that still receives email at midnight. So they can get to have it all. And you don't want it all.
Right. That's a new industry motto. we'll give it to you all.
You can have it all, you just don't want it.
You can have it all. What do you want to do with it?
That's why we need more young people, so we can push it off on them. I've done
Amen,
it already.
Amen, brother. They're young. They're pliable. They've got all kinds of energy.
Absolutely. They know how to use this stuff, too.
You can always put him in. Yes, really. You've got to learn this part. It's okay. 5 years, 10 max, you'll do it. And then it's done. 10 it doesn't matter.
Just catch me on one more wave of technology, and I think I'm out of here.
So, you know, finally, you know, we still definitely see some disparities in the numbers. And as amazing as it was to see all of the women come together and knowing that we just celebrated our year anniversary for the women in AV, we have almost 450 women internationally, which is just really phenomenal and wonderful. Chuck, what do you think are some of the things that as an industry we can look to do to try to recruit more women to join us? And, you know, what are some initiatives that we need to undertake?
Well, I think, you know, having planned career paths is one thing. You know, having the tools to show people the vast array of, you know, once you get started in this industry, you can head off a million different directions. And to be able to show people that there is something for every interest, no matter what, you know, kind of thing excites you about the technology, we can go different directions. I think also, and I speak to many women in this industry that are the younger women that are coming up trying to find their way in middle management or in engineering, getting from, you know, that over the stigma of once having been the sales girl, if you will, and being perceived, you know, by her clients or coworkers as such, into getting into that next tier, that next strata, management level, whatever, is to do more as an industry to change the behavioral and cultural, you know, boundaries here and stuff. People that still go into like a client meeting or a management meeting, and you know, where the younger people in our industry, this isn't necessarily women, but the younger people, they're faced with condescending type behavior. You know, they want to look and have a conversation with the boss, you know, the older person in the room, the male in the room, whatever. And I think what we have to do is to continue to spread the word, you know, do what you're doing to deliver the message that we're creating a better business or a better workplace environment, one that is based on, you know, the gender not making any difference, but the skills and the training and the education and knowledge of the products and systems and so on and so forth. So I see that, you know, we've gone a long ways, but there's still a long ways to go yet with all of that. So, you know, our organizations, ourselves and Infocom and all the other industry associations, we could go a long ways in helping create that better workplace environment as well.
What I think we need to do is, as an industry, not just guys or women, we need to not be afraid to open up our brains to those younger than us. And the reason I say that is because my father is a machinist, and he grew up, you know, he was an apprentice and all this other stuff. But you had a situation where in a organization that he worked alongside older people who showed him the tricks of the trade and this, that, and the other. And I sometimes think that we're lacking that in this industry, where you have people, the older they get, the more secretive they get about their procedures and how they do things. Because, you know, heaven forbid, somebody's going to take over their job someday. Well, I hate to be the bearer of bad news. Somebody's going to take your job over someday, whether you retire or whether you pass away or whether you're outsourced. Somebody is going to take over that job. And so if we as industry people will pass along that information, and not to be, you know, grandiose here, but your legacy, your knowledge will live on in someone else. And I think if we take women by the hand and others by the hand and teach them and show them, you know, yes, here's, you know, here's Ohm's law, but also here's, you know, here's how I found this trick to troubleshoot this thing. I don't know.
Yeah. I guess my jump on this is that I think that the walls are already down. I think that it's I agree wholeheartedly with a lot of the comments, especially, you know, the younger generation, whether they're male or female, getting excited about our industry. But I think that when I say that the walls are down, I think that our industry built those up. When I look at women in AV, that was created out of a social network, LinkedIn. And you have 450 women that are now talking, whereas before all us white guys would be sitting around, old white guys would be sitting around the golf course and making the deals and talking about the technology and building the businesses. And I think that's gone now. I think that it's out of our hands, which is actually, I consider it to be truly helpful. I that's the difference. I think that there's people going to be poking in at our industry as long as we keep it upbeat. And I think that we, you know, express, you know, a love for the industry. I think that people will come. I mean, that's generally what happens. They drive towards where the fun is. And our industry is fun.
Yes, it is.
Well, you know, it's one of those things is that I actually have an interesting, I think, perception on this, being that I'm sort of right in the middle of, you know, maybe that old school sort of generation versus the younger generation. And I find that it really works both ways. Right now we have four generations in our workplace, which is the first time in the history. So I really do understand and hear when it's sort of that perspective of, you know, the the executive saying this kid doesn't know what I know and therefore might not have anything to contribute. Then I also sort of see it on the other side of that as well, in regards to looking at what our different generational needs are, because I think in some regards, you know, Chuck, you mentioned early on about Jan Sandry, and the first thing that you said that was about her, not just her confidence, but her humility. And I think that in some regards, the way that the younger generations can help sort of facilitate is to really be respectful of sort of that experience and wisdom that an executive has. And that sometimes is a little bit, I think, for the younger generations, they're really enthusiastic, but they sometimes might not understand how important it is to maintain humility and really understanding your audience.
Yeah. Yeah, that's important. And, you know, the other thing, and you touched on it yourself, what I'm seeing is, you know, Jan's the perfect mentor. We have other young women in the industry getting into it for the first time that could be perfect mentees, if you will. But what I'm seeing is that, like you told the story of how you were raised, and what we're starting to find is that young women that were coached by their parents or people at school or whatever to be strong and confident, you can do anything, and be more self-sufficient, what we're seeing is that when they get into the workplace, they're the ones that actually struggle more with accepting the role of a mentee. So what we got to find here, Jennifer, is a balance between that confidence, if you will, and people that have the humility and the understanding that, you know, hey, you weren't born on third base and all you got to do is get from there to home plate. When you get to the workplace, you got to start over at first base or at home plate and try to get to first, then to second, then to third. Make the tryouts. And so I think that's the important thing, is that while we want to, you know, bring the brightest young people into the industry with all the education and training and knowledge and confidence that they can have, we also want to have the tools, you know, for them that can assist them in getting the expertise and experience from, you know, the Jans and Corys of the world brought down into that 20-something and be able for them to make sure it's okay for them to be, you know, asking for help and things, rather than encouraging people to have that, you know, so much confidence that they're not willing to seek the advice of others. So it's a long story, but it's something that we got to work on a little bit more.
Chuck, I'd like to ask a question. And again, maybe it's I haven't been involved in groups to a large degree, but LinkedIn caused me to join the Women in AV. Are there other groups, like even inside of, let's say, NSCA, or that are like Infocom, that are specific to the needs and the wants and the mentoring of women? I think that this is a unique opportunity. That's kind of why I'm excited about it. It's a new avenue. I haven't seen groups like this before.
There is another industry. If you look outside of our industry and into others, there's great models for us to follow here that have this mentorship type mindset, you know, both internally in the company and matching up others outside of the companies. But we're just at the very start of this thing in our world. So we'd have to look outside, I think, to have good models to go by.
And that is something, John, that we are working on and just getting ready to get back in touch with everybody. We had a few busy months, but we are actually launching a mentoring program. And I'll send you the link if you want to be involved.
Please
and,
do. Absolutely. Great.
So we encourage men and women to, right now we're only offering mentoring to women. We can't offer it to young men, but we have both, and Chuck signed up. So Chuck's going to be one of our mentors. Great. So what about you, George?
I think a lot that everybody's making really, really valid points. The outreach is the outreach. I think it comes down to having someone go out there and, like you guys are doing, saying, hello, we're here. Like the early example I said of Cindy Gallup, who is brash as can be, but she's getting attention. She's bringing exposure to some of these groups that are out there about, you know, women programmers and the like, and like Wave, that you say, I'm here. If you have questions, yeah, we're in this industry and we'd like to do it. So, you know, not being too cocky, that's a young person's thing that some get it, some don't. And I think that's really regardless of gender. I've met people on both sides who can be too timid and who can really be too much like they think they know it all. So really it comes down to for a company like us saying, hey, are you interested in this stuff or do you even want to explore it? We're happy to show you what it's about. Sometimes we'll be brash. Sometimes we'll be too busy. But for the most part, we're willing to have anyone who's interested come on up and see if this is for them and to learn a little bit. And it really is about, like any young person should do, is here's my resume. Hey, I like what you guys do. I'd love to try an internship. Talk to me directly. Talk to us through an educator or come through someone like Wave. We're happy, happy, happy to find anyone who has an interest and a knack for it.
Wonderful.
That's well.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much, gentlemen. This has just been an amazing opportunity, and you all have done so much for the women in our industry, for Wave, and we're just incredibly grateful for all of the support and help that you provide us. As I mentioned when we first got started, we really do recognize and appreciate that so much of the women of those of us who are here would not be where we're at if it was not for all of you and all of the things that you do. Thank you very much for taking your time and being on the podcast.
I mean, I could drop off and play with my robot now?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, you can. As soon as you tell everybody where they can find you and your company.
Thank you.
John, where can people find you and if they want to find you? Oh, I hear the cranking.
Again, this is John Graham with Advanced AV. We're located just outside of Westchester. Actually, we're located in Westchester, which is a suburb in Philadelphia. My email address is john.green, G-R-E-E-N-E, the E at the extra end, spent the $50 and got the extra vowel, at advancedav.com.
Great. Thank you. How about you, George?
You can find me on AV Nation. I blog for Rave Pub, AV Shout, and my personal one, which is TuckerTuesday.typepad, as well as Tucker Tuesday on probably any social media form you can find. If there's a Tucker Tues, it's me.
Great. Thank you. Chuck, how about you?
Well, people can reach me at my email. It's probably the best, at cwilson@nsca.org. Or go to our website, nsca.org. Or the new thing that we started that you know, Jennifer, is the AV MBA. And the avmba.com is the website. But that's a partnership between us and Rave. And so every week I'm putting my question of the week up there and then my video blog and some of the other written blogs that we're doing and everything. So it's worth reading. There's just all sorts of content up there now.
Yes, it's really fantastic. So I do read it all the time, and then I tweet it out for everybody from Wave. So,
thank you. We're getting lots of comments about it. So I got to keep soliciting input so that I can keep putting out better and better information, the things that people want to read. So I appreciate you doing that.
Yeah, wonderful. Happy to. And how about you, Tim?
I guess the best place to find where I do it, TD Tim David Albright on Twitter, if you'd like to follow any of the ramblings, which is generally retweeting whatever George tweets. So it makes me sound smart that way.
Oh, there's such potential in that.
Great. Well, thank you, gentlemen. And with your robots, the one thing, I don't know if I mentioned this, but the thing I found the coolest was that when you crank him up and roll him across the table, he'll find his way to get back up on his feet. So that one was certainly an interesting
How appropriate.
Great. Well, thank you, gentlemen. Thank you again.
Jennifer, thank you for putting it together.
Thank you.
Yes. Thanks for having
us. Thank you.
Yes. My pleasure. Thank you, everybody, for joining us and listening to our AV Gen and all the insights that they shared with us. I will look forward to bringing you another episode next month.